Hey, fellow traveler. Welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this.
Hello, beautiful friends. Welcome to yet another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I have the most beautiful, sumptuous, delicious conversation to share with you today between myself and Petya Kalibova. She is one of the sweetest, most genuine, and beautiful women I have met in a long time, and I'm really excited to share it with you. But first, I just want to let you know about a couple things that I have coming up. If you follow me on social media, if you are in Soul Space or you are on my email list or you follow me on Instagram, you may have noticed that I have like a bazillion things coming out right now. And it's because I'm in a really creative phase. If you are a human design person, then I'm a manifesting generator, which just means that I function in very non-linear ways. I get a lot of ideas. A lot of things light me up and I'm kind of like all over the place, but in a way, like that's how I'm supposed to be. So this is a very creative phase for me. And I have so many downloads coming through, so many ways that I want to expand people's consciousness, so many things I want to teach people, so many things I want to share. So I am like on fire creating a million things, and it could probably feel hard to keep track of it. And as you've heard me say a lot of times before, I'm absolute rubbish at sales. I'm not good at it. I don't feel like I'm good at it. And, you know, a lot of the time I don't even talk about the things that I'm doing because I feel awkward and like, I'm making like weird robot hands. Like I just feel weird and unnatural when I'm doing it. So a lot of the time I don't even share it, or I just share it on social media. And then I realize like, God, most people that are in my orbit are like in my orbit through the podcast. They're not even following me on social media. There's so many people that even if I follow them on Instagram, I never see their Instagram content because Instagram is what it is. Anyway, so I'm making an effort to tell you more frequently about the things that I have going on. And just know that this is never me trying to convince you to do anything that is out of alignment for you. This is me feeling hyper creative and coming up with a bajillion ways to share all of my downloads with people. I carry the teacher archetype along with the artist archetype, the priestess archetype, and it just brings me so much joy to share this information. So please understand that these are just simply invitations. They are invitations and reminders that I have these things going on. And if you're at a point in your life where you feel like going deeper, I have multiple levels at which you can go deeper. You can like engage in one of my lower cost, like quick, potent in and out masterclasses, or you can engage in one of my group programs that are kind of like a higher level offer because there's more of my time going into it. It's a longer process. Or you can engage in my mastermind or in private mentorship. That's for like, if you're ready to just like go all in and completely create a whole new timeline for yourself, like take a forking path, not just take a forking path in life, but create a forking path in the direction that you want to go and experience really mind-bending, like evolutionary turns on your own personal journey. Then I have things at that level too. So I'm just going to quickly tell you about what I've got coming up immediately. So the first one is I have something called the Galactic Gateway Masterclass, which is a two-part masterclass. Part one is free and it's all about starseeds. What are starseeds? What are galactics? What is your galactic gateway chakra? What are the different kinds of starseeds? Like how I understand them, what I see, what I've learned about them. And then that part is free. Part two is a process on how to open your galactic gateway and meet your interdimensional self, your galactic self, your starseed self, etc. So that is a process. Part two is a process, and that is $77. And that's coming up on July 1st and 2nd. As always, you get a recording. If you can't make it live, no big deal. All the different time zones, all the different things in life. Everybody can't make it live, but you always get access to the recording and you get to keep it for lifetime access. The next thing that I have coming up is a 5-part transmission that's called Sorceress, like S-O-U-R-C-E, Source, but it's open to men as well. Just, you know, I'm a woman and let's be real, mostly it's women who join my things, but it could be sorcerer/sorceress, the call. I received a transmission a few weeks ago about the next steps of what we are supposed to do here. For those of us who are here on a mission, like we are not just supposed to be regular humans. We were regular humans for a long time, and we do blend in as regular humans. We have regular human bodies and regular human lives, but we are undercover sleeper agents. We're here to do something really big. And I received instructions on what that is, and it involves channeling the light. And when I say channeling the light, I don't just mean learning how to channel information. I mean that too. I mean like how to channel, but I mean becoming like a lightning rod that receives high voltage light and grounds it into the earth. It's a big deal. There's also a follow-up component that will be running starting later in August that's all about doing these grid work ceremonies. They are so intricate. They are so beautiful. If that resonates with you, if you hear me talking about grid work and portal opening and channeling the light and you're like, holy shit, I don't even fully know what that means on a conscious level, or maybe I do, but I do know that I'm here to do this. Let me know. That is called Sorceress, the call. You can sign up. There's a link in the show notes. You can find also a link on Instagram, a link in Soul Space. You can probably find it on my website. That I'm not 100% sure about. And then the third thing that I have coming up, these are all happening in July. Oh, that one's happening. I think I said it's like from July 9th to 13th. I think it is. And it's a 5-day transmission. And again, as always, replays of the recordings are available, lifetime access. Okay. So just like there's no reason to worry about whether you can attend the calls live. That's just not an important factor. It's fun to attend live, but it should not be the deciding factor. The receiving of this information, if it feels aligned for you, should be the deciding factor. The third invitation I'm going to extend is my highest level mastermind, my high level mastermind called 1212. And there are only 12 spaces available, but most of those are spoken for by the people who joined back in April when I first started it. Most of them are staying on. So there are a few spaces available and a couple of people have messaged me about those. So I'm not sure how many there are left, but this is for very specific people. This is not for everyone. How do you know if it's for you? It's similar to knowing about the call. Like if you hear me talking about channeling the light, opening portals, doing grid work, embodying the Christ consciousness and radiating that out into the world, recoding the simulation from the inside out, passing through the firmament from, you know, this 3D, 4D realm into the 5D and straddling both the 3D air quotes and the 5D, like straddling this world and straddling the other world and helping people to move across, like creating a bridge between this world and the other world through our own embodied practices, clarifying yourself as the pure vessel, the pure channel for that Christ-like consciousness. Or if, again, you know, I know for some people, maybe the word Christ is triggering. So it's like, you know, a super, super high ascended level consciousness. It's knowing that we are embodied drip downs. Like you could say we are embodied descendants of that ascended level consciousness that I refer to as the Christ-like consciousness. But it's like not descendants as though we like are of the direct heritage of Jesus Christ or something like that. I mean, like, we are the drip down extension of that consciousness. That consciousness dripped us down into this realm, knowing that at some point we will become activated and we would learn how to embody, we would figure out how to embody that level of consciousness and have that effect on the earth that sets other people free, that we find our own freedom and sovereignty in ourselves through this embodiment. We hold that template for others to calibrate to, and they then become liberated from the illusory trappings of this realm. So as you listen to me say all that, if that resonates with you, then send me a message. This, because there are only so many spots, this is kind of like by application. Like, I don't, it's not like I'm like, oh, you're good enough or you're not. It's more that I'm not just putting the link for just anybody to sign up. I just would like you to take that extra step and message me, and we'll have a conversation, and I'll send you the link from there. And you should also know that if you feel called to join 1212 and you're like, but I want to do the other things too, and, you know, whatever, money, finances, blah, 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 all the people in 1212 automatically get to be in everything else. So you get to be in the Galactic Gateway Masterclass, both parts. You get to be in Sorceress/Sorcerer, The Call. You get to receive all the information. And one of the cool things is that this mastermind, this 1212, is the place where I bring all of my downloads and transmissions first. This group, they are the first receivers of the information that I get. And it often happens that it comes through like the night before our call. And then I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh my God, you guys, I have to tell you some things. Anyway, it's a beautiful group. The souls are so high level, so high frequency, and we're having the most delicious, amazing conversations. And something really shifted in the last 2 weeks where I'm really witnessing a lot of breakthroughs in the souls that are already in 1212, just like an acceleration of their own expansion and the development of their psychic abilities and the downloads that they are getting. Honestly, that's the most thrilling part to me. As much as I love teaching and sharing information, I really love the synergistic effect of like hearing other people's downloads and all of us building off of each other and expanding. It's like we each bring pieces of the puzzle and we're filling out the picture more and more and more the more we work together. Anyway, can you tell me I'm excited about it or what? But this podcast episode is not all about all of those things. It's actually a beautiful conversation with my friend Petya. So without any further ado, I'm going to switch over to tell you about Petya and to let you enjoy our conversation. Petya is a women's alignment coach who helps those that have been pushed down and playing small due to toxic relationships or unhealed childhood trauma to create an abundant life that is true to their soul purpose. Her mission is to help women moving through their limiting beliefs so they can fully align with who they are, discover and do what feels good to them, and serve others in a powerful way. And my beautiful male listeners, I know this has been a female-heavy set of interviews. It's just how it has worked out. It was male-heavy for a while there, and now it's female-heavy again. But I just want you to know that there are things for you in this conversation. Even though Petya works with women, she just really talks about, like, her experiences in feeling limited, in being like selling herself short and settling in relationships, settling in life, just being unhappy. And the process for her, it was gradual. The process by which she figured out, like, oh, if I just like really honor myself and what feels good for me in any given moment and just feel my limiting beliefs, but know they're not real. They just feel real, you know, but they aren't a fact. They just feel strong. And I honor them and I let them go and I just take care of myself. Shit starts aligning like magic. And I love the way she described it. She has a different process than I have, but ultimately it's all the same thing. And I have found that exact same reality to be true, that if I allow myself to interface with my limiting beliefs, but from a place where I am the one who decides. Like, I'm the decider. I have power over them or not. Or, I mean, I have power over them to decide if they're real or not. That's what I mean. Then, and I don't have to push them away. I can just meet them and engage with them. Then my life just has changed to reflect that so much. Like, my life just keeps getting better and better and better. And, you know, 10 years ago, it was not like this at all. So if you're kind of struggling, you feel like manifestation is hard for you, this is a great conversation to tune into. Okay, that's it. I'm done rambling. I love you all so much. Enjoy this beautiful conversation with Petya Kolibova. Welcome to the show, Petya. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. And like you said, it was so much fun when we, you know, talked on my podcast that I feel so honored to be here today with you, Amy.
Yes, thank you. And to start our conversation, I would love to hear from you about what spiritual awakening means to you and what your spiritual awakening journey has been like. Did you start out in life knowing that there was something more than, you know, kind of what any religion taught us or school taught us? Or was that a process of unfolding that happened for you?
I love how you really put it, you know, because for me, it was really an unfolding, because when I was a little girl, I wanted to believe that there is something more than what I can just see, because what I could just see, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel fulfilling. You know, I come from an abusive family, so I wanted someone to lean on, right? And it wasn't the family for me. So even as a very little girl, we moved from city to a very little town. And I went to church just on my own. I was like, I don't know, 7 years old, you know, 8 years old, just like wondering. And I wanted to understand the world. I wanted to understand, because I had the feeling that there must be more of the things we cannot see. And no one in my family, it's like religious. My stepfather, when I told him I went to the church, he was laughing and putting down like the religion, like how silly is that and things like that. And so I started to go and looking for something good in life, something to hold on to, but it wasn't the religion. Even back then, I realized that the answers that I was getting were like suffocating me. It wasn't freeing. And I kind of felt that I want to be free and there must be something more. And me and my grandma, we were always watching like the old shows, like the unexplainable things that are happening, like ghosts and spirits and afterlife. So I feel like my grandma infused that in me. And even though she wouldn't like go to church or anything after my uncle's suicide, which was, you know, recently, well, 12 years ago, but I wasn't the little girl, that was the time when she started praying to angels, you know. So there was no like God, but I feel like for me, it was slow and realizing that I cannot connect to what I'm looking for with my mind. That's what I was doing, analyzing, searching, trying to understand. And when I stopped trying to understand with my mind, that's when I started to feel things. You know, I remember I must be like 8 or 9 years old. I was at home alone with my little brother. He was asleep and I had a window open, and it was summer in Czech Republic. It's hot, no wind, no nothing, you know. I could hear the frogs outside. That's kind of it. And I was laying in bed and just like reading, and suddenly I felt very, very, very cold. And it's summer. I'm like, and we don't have air conditioners in you know, in Czech Republic either. So no offense, no nothing. It's like, what is this? This is weird. And my window was open. I was like, let me go close it. Maybe, you know, it got windy. And I got up. And when I walked to the window, I saw like a figure without face. And I freaked out. I closed the window. But as I'm closing it, I see my parents coming with a car towards our home. And I started to say, there is something, there is something. And my mom, you know, comes into my room. She was like, hey, how is everything? I was like, someone was there. She was like, no, I saw you closing the window because we were driving, but there was nothing there. So that was my first like encounter with like, there must be something else. And it won't come to me through my mind. So that was like the first step, you know, very long step.
Yeah. And so that's so fascinating that you had this experience. Did you have any other experiences? Like, did you ever feel into like who that was in the room?
No, I really didn't. And I was scared, but it wasn't scary. You know, right. I knew I had a feeling that it wasn't like bad, but I never had the feeling or find out what would happen, who that could be, you know. But and I never had like same experience that I would see so clearly something. Mm. But I did have feelings when the temperature changes in the room. And I feel like after that, I just like blocked it out until like my 30s, you know. I just didn't save. I didn't feel safe in my body. I didn't feel safe with these things. So I kind of like block it off. And then in my 30s, I started to reconnect with that feeling, with that intuition, and with just that inner knowingness of our dreams, and starting to again feeling. And that's when I feel like, you know, the awakening started for me when I was around like 28 29. And then I also learned that Saturn is in return those times, you know. And it's like everything later as you go on your journey. But that was when I started to tap into my feeling and starting to like trust my intuition and the things and the messages that are coming to me. Because normally they don't make sense. It makes no sense whatsoever in the moment. But then I'm like, it feels right. So when I follow those nudges, that's when, you know, I can look back later and say, oh, okay, that's why. So it's beautiful, you know, like to know that you are not alone ever. And that you don't have to put it in a box. You don't have to put it in a book. You don't have to put it even name on it. It's just that trust of the energies that are around us and, you know, the higher power that is around us. So I feel like it's fascinating and it keeps evolving and unfolding, and it comes with the surrender, trust, and willingness.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely that it just keeps unfolding. It just keeps unfolding. And so, okay, when you were around 28, when you're going through your Saturn return and you started to intentionally connect with your intuition and to develop it, do you remember like what your process was?
You know, the process and how I started, it wasn't very spiritual. It was like a slap in the face, you know, like you're not going to pay me attention, I'll show you, right? So for me, I was very much in my masculine energy, just go and do and plan and, you know, like very much in my head. And back then I was dating my boyfriend and ex-boyfriend. And we went to the club and we were just talking with different people, and I started talking with women, which is absolutely normal. Like I talk to women, guys, whatever. And it felt different in my body. Like I had this like punch in my stomach feeling, and suddenly I started to cry out of nowhere. And he was like, you're hysterical, you're dramatic, let's go home, you're embarrassing me, you know, I would never do anything. And I told myself back then, oh, I'm crazy, maybe I'm before my period. But that feeling just didn't went away. And 3 years later, I find out that that was the first night he met that girl, but then they were sleeping together for 3 years. We're together 5 years. Fourth year, I find out. Then I'm like, oh, he will like quit, change. Didn't change. But that's when I really like my intuition is right. This is how it feels. This is how I'm guided. And ever since, I started to really pay attention to little signs, and especially like, how am I feeling? How am I feeling around people? How am I feeling around places? And it's like, it's so fun when I allow myself to be guided, when I'm not trying to plan it all and figure it out, but when I really allow myself to be shown the signs, when you get an unexpected email or you hear a song or you just can't stop thinking about something, and then you know, like, go to that place and you're like, oh my gosh, that's why I was meant to be here. For me now, it's really fun, you know?
Yeah. And is that how you live your life now? Like, really from, like, for example, and you've created this beautiful business, you've cultivated this audience, and you're, you know, my impression of your life is that you created a life that is intentional for you, that like brings you maximum joy. Like, we were talking about how you were previously living in Tulum the last time that we spoke, and you love to live somewhere where the weather is nice and hot. And did you create this life by following those signs?
Absolutely. You know, I think it really went back into the surrender and trusting, you know, and that's how I live my life right now, intentionally and without forcing, really without forcing and pushing. And I allow my vision to pull me. It's completely different feeling when the vision, your vision of life pulls you and you said, I would like to feel like this. I would love to live like this. And I'm not attached. How am I getting there? Because I never planned to be an entrepreneur. I never saw myself as a coach for women, because I always like, I don't have my stuff together. How can I tell other people, you know, what to do? So when I surrender, I'm shown the way, I'm shown the person, and I'm very selective in where I invest my energy, very selective with my one-on-one coaching clients. I don't do things just to do them. I used to do that, Amy. I used to just go through the motions just to do things because I feel like I should. But then I realized that those things were beautiful lessons. They were for me, but just to show me the contrast. Now I live very intentionally every single day. And when I don't set the intention in the morning, I can feel it. So creating that space to connect to yourself and to connect to the energy, you know, of whatever you believe, God, universe, cosmos, source, it doesn't matter, but connect to that energy. So you're not going here just as the human being with this beautiful vessel that it's, you know, you can tire it very quickly,
yes.
But really being connected to something even bigger and really being in that state of surrender and paying attention.
Yeah. And how did you cultivate that state of surrender for yourself? Like, did it kind of, was it a natural byproduct of going through the experience that you had with your ex and realizing that, oh my God, my intuition knew the whole time. And then from there being like, oh, okay, there's a smarter aspect of me that, you know, I'm just going to let that run the show. That one happened, or was it more of a process?
I feel like, again, it was a process for me, because it's just like, you know, Amy, if you're like decades doing something,
yes,
and one hint, even when it's big slap in the face, it's not going to change everything unless it's like really, I feel like a big event, big occurrence, right? So for me, it was more like progress, because I was still in the like trying to like think about things, plan things, like disconnect from the spiritual, right? Like, because I was thinking that spirituality, it's just like woo-woo and it's weak and it's just for those who cannot be grounded. And what I realized throughout my journey, like, I feel myself the most in nature. So I started to introduce my nature. Again, I was forced into it, you know, because I was working very hard and pushing, and I was not physically and emotionally well. And then, you know, like I get an inspired idea, just go for a walk. I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I'm so busy. Just go for a walk. I have so many things to do. Just go for a walk. That inner voice, you know, it's like, it wouldn't shut up. I'm like, okay. So I grabbed my dog, go for a walk. And then I came back and I felt so recharged, so elevated, so good that I'm like, okay, I get to learn to listen to this voice. Whatever ideas come to me, just listen to it, because the mind will be always there. No matter what you're doing, the mind will be always there. But listening to that intuition and to that voice. So back then I started to like including more of the things that I was pulled into, that I was, you know, I don't hear the voice, but it's like inside of me, that like inspired idea. Like I'm moved. I'm like excited for something. I'm excited. Even at the beginning, I always like resist. I'm in my mind. I'm like, you know, it's like, why should I do this? Why right now? And then I'm like, you know what? When you do listen, when you just shut up the mind and when you listen, it's beautiful. It's like this path of least resistance, you know, as I like to say. Because then you're guided to so much more in life, and you realize that you are so much more than what you can just see, that it's expansive. And I feel like I get to bring myself into it consciously and intentionally every single day, because it's so easy. I mean, the way we live our lives, like with the technology, with the fast-paced world, it's so easy to like disconnect from us. And, you know, the guidance that we can get and that inner knowingness, and just go into the quickening.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. It's like the inner knowing, the inner guidance is there. And my view on like psychic development, for example, is that we actually have, like, we're already psychically activated. It's just so quiet. It's so quiet. And it's easy to dismiss it or not even notice it in the with all the noise from technology and from jobs and families and just like the rhythms and the pace that we, you know, have, that society kind of has created. And so it's very easy for us to not hear that stuff. And we have to actively choose it. And at first it feels foreign and strange. It doesn't feel natural. Like you were describing, like, just go for a walk. But I'm so busy. I've had that experience so many times of feeling like I'm just as programmed as the next person that, you know, I have this big to-do list. I have to accomplish these things today. They have to get done, whatever. And the mind always wants to like hold us in that place, hold us in those stories, because it's trying to protect us. And it thinks that something's going to go wrong if we deviate. And it takes a lot of conscious decision to continually choose that more flowing, effortless path, that path of least resistance, over and over and over until it starts to become like second nature, which is, it sounds like, which is what you have now. But even still, you mentioned that you wake up and you set intentions for your day. So even if it is second nature and you've practiced it for a long time, you still aren't resting on your laurels. You're not taking it for granted. You're actively setting the intention for your day. And what does it look like when you do that? How do you set an intention for your day?
So like you said, it can be a second nature, but also we can get overruled, right, by everything that is happening in the world. So for me, it's like right upon waking up, I just connect with my heart and connect with my breath, connect with my body. And then I usually do like right away, like meditation. I love guided meditations or just sounds, but I love that because right upon waking up, we are in such a susceptible state of mind that if I just wake up and go and do something, then it's just like I'm in the doing mode. But when I wake up, I connect with how am I feeling? I'm connecting with the energy of the day. I ask myself, what do I need today? What am I excited for today? What am I going to create today? So I connect with the energy of everything, of the cosmos, of the creation, instead of just the doing and being the robot, right? So that's how I start every single day. And then when I have a chance, like, you know, some days you have yearly meetings or something, but usually I have like 1 hour morning routine when I go and I journal and I stretch and I do some breath work. Like every day it's different because I check in with myself, but it gets to be very intentional because there are days that I was supposed to have a very early meeting with my team because they are in Europe and it got rescheduled. But that was the first thing that I did today. I grab my phone, look at the messages. Are we doing it? Are we not doing it? Because that would change my schedule. And I could feel that frazzled energy. And I'm like, I got to reset. So I went to our backyard and there is a beautiful nature and hummingbirds and journaling and breathing. I get to reset myself because if not, my whole day would be in that energy, you know, of just like going through the motion and checking off the list. And that it's really not fulfilling. That's like getting things done, but are you really enjoy? Are you really present? You know, and being in presence and being present, it's something that I get to keep reminding myself too, from moment to moment.
That's beautiful. And so it sounds like you prioritize, the quality of the experience that you're having in your day over accomplishment.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's such a big distinction. And it also doesn't mean that you don't accomplish anything. It's just that it feels better. It feels like, I mean, what words would you use to describe the way that you consciously cultivate your experience of your day? You know, for some people, it might be, they might create a certain texture for themselves in their day. What does yours feel like that you consciously cultivate?
For me, I would say it's the satisfaction, you know, like the deliciousness of the day. Because, you know, like on a paper, everything can look good. You check off all the right boxes, you come into the end of the day, and you still don't feel right. So it's the fulfillment, the satisfaction, the fullness, the feeling of life flowing to you and through you, you know? So I feel like we get to come into the end of the day knowing that we have lived. Because if not, it's like you wake up, you go to job or, you know, start your calls in a business, start your emails and you're just going. And then you come to the end and you're like, is this it? What's wrong with me? And you know, that inner chatter starts, but it's because we disconnect from ourselves. We disconnect from that energy that it's here to nurture us and show us. And it's that feeling of aliveness and possibilities that you can give yourself.
That's so beautiful. And I feel like as I'm in your energy and I'm listening to you speak, I'm like feeling this wash over me in a way that is really medicinal for me too. I was having that kind of morning already, but it kind of just like it's crystallizing it within me. So this morning, I just was in such a good mood. Like I just woke up and I was like, looked at my two little ones and was like, I just love them so much. And looked at my partner and I love him. And we made breakfast and there was nothing unusual that happened during our day, but there was just this feeling of rather than like rush. Okay. What do I need to do before my calls start? Whatever. I just was so relaxed and it's different. I don't really know why that happened, but I'm happy that it did. Even my partner went out to cut the grass and stuff. And normally that would kind of make me a little bit anxious because, you know, when is he going to come in? Am I going to have time to get myself ready before my calls start? But this morning I was like, it doesn't even matter. Just sit with your kids, just sit in the sunshine. And it was such a beautiful feeling. And I thought like, well, that's really what this is all about anyway. Like, that's what every day is all about. And it's so easy for us to respond to the programming that we've all received, that so much of our worth or like our personal validation is found in achievement, accomplishment, in productivity. And all of those things they have their place too, but it's keeping it in balance between like what I feel off of you and your energy right now is this extremely beautiful, luxurious, divine feminine frequency of just like pleasure and being in your body, loving yourself, loving the, like I said, the texture of like, I can just imagine like you're probably somebody that really soaks up the feeling of the sun on your skin or the breeze on your skin and all the delicious available joy in the moment.
Mm-hmm. I love how you describe me. You should do like the pre-recording of my podcast, you know, on my podcast, like it's me, because that's exactly what I feel. And I love the morning that you have, Amy, because I feel like, you know, it's interesting. I even did like Instagram stories about it yesterday or a couple days ago that sometimes we are waiting for the big things, for the big breakthroughs, for the big realizations, for the big, you know, something happen in our life, but it's the little daily things, like you smelling the fresh air of your kids or kissing your partner in the morning or going outside and feeling the fresh air and seeing the hummingbirds. Like I get emotional in a good way, because the thing is that nothing will make you happy and fulfilled if you cannot appreciate and notice these little things. This is why we came here, to feel it, to sense it, to like have all the body sensations and also all the feelings. Like sometimes we try to label them good and bad, but I don't see that as bad. I see like, okay, now that I feel this, I know what I prefer. It gives me the contrast and the preference and like, yeah, now that we have a noisy neighbors, I know I want to know neighbors, or I want a tranquility and peace and things like that. So those moments are the moments that we get to cherish and double down on, and they will be happening in the little things, like how the sun is hitting your window or how your flower starts blooming or how your kid starts laughing. It's the little joys of lives that are really reminding us of the beauty of life.
Totally. And really, like, just like you said, if those moments, and those are the moments that life is made up of. We have these big events, right? And they really mark themselves in our memory. But I have a feeling that when, you know, when we're doing our life review at the end of our lives, most of what we remember is just those beautiful little atmospheric moments of the sound of, you know, the laughter of somebody that we love and all those things that you described, you know, the millions of things that when we really, really pause and we really become present in the moment, there's literally infinite things for us to connect into, like the now moment is infinite in its depth. It becomes richer and richer the deeper we can be with it. Mm-hmm. It just yields more and more information. And I have a suspicion that when we can really cultivate that, as you have, mindfully, and be in it and bring ourselves back to it, because it's very natural for us to fall out of it, but keep bringing ourselves back to it whenever we remember it. From that space, we magnetize and manifest true abundance with so much more ease, because it's like those moments of appreciation are that frequency match to abundance. Because what is like, what's the value of money if you aren't like feeling all the joy that is available, right? So we often think of money or abundance in terms of money. But really, like, what we want money for is so that we can be in freedom and pleasure and all of that stuff. And if we can be in freedom and pleasure in what's available to us right now, then money obviously has to come in, and all the other forms of abundance as well. Have you found that for yourself in your life?
Absolutely. You know, it's really that saying, what you appreciates, right? Like so many women, they come to me when they want to work with me and they're like, I want more money. I want more freedom. I want more travels. I want to find the love of my life. And it's like this this outside seeking and saying like, I don't have it. I'm in scarcity. Something is missing. My life, it's not good. I want to be complete until. Then I always call it like living in a when land. You know, when this and this happen, then I will be happy. It doesn't work this way. It's the other way around. When you find the happiness and the goodness and the positivity in what is happening right now, then you are able to attract energetically the match to that. So when women come to me and they say like, I hate my job, it's toxic, I don't want to be there. I'm like, even if you quit right now and leave, you will create the same environment in the new job or in your business. That's what I did. I used to be in corporate. I got fired, created my first job, social media marketing agency. And I was miserable because I was feeling the same way how I was feeling in my job, because I felt unappreciated and unseen and working so hard. I'm like, what is everybody talking about entrepreneurship? This is like so hard, you know, you don't get your freedom. So, and I teach them to appreciate like before, like when you look at like the big areas of your life, you know, like for example, finances or relationship or your body and your health or whatever big area you want to work on. Anytime you're feeling like low, you can feel sadness, you can feel anger, you can feel frustration, like anything that it's not like, oh, this is so good, I want to feel like this forever, right? Like how you felt this morning, Amy. When you don't feel that, just I really invite you to write down the positive aspects. What is good about this? Like if you hate your job, before you go to your work, instead of complaining because you wake up and you get frustrated because you got to go to work, then you're frustrated because you're in traffic, then you're frustrated with your boss and coworkers. It's like the snowball effect, right? And so sit down and write down, ideally in your phone, I would say like write it in your journal, but not always we have a journal on us, but we always have a phone on us. Unfortunately, that's the times we live in. Have a note when you can write like positive aspects work, positive aspects my body. So anytime you're feeling low vibration, anytime you're just not feeling right, write down 3 to 5 things that are good about it. Like before you go to your job, start writing, why is it good? Like, why is it good? Oh, it pays my bills and it's very close to my home, or it allows me. I always say that the job is sponsor of your dreams. You know, you're not going to be there forever, but right now it's paying for your coaches. Right now it's paying for your courses that you want to be taking. Right now it's paying for, you know, roof over your head, ideally, right? So it's going to shift the vibration and you will get into the appreciation. When you're in appreciation, you, and I love how you said it, and that's also like the basis of my business, the magnetism. I don't chase anyone. I don't have to convince anyone. People are magnetized to me, to my energy, to my message. I'm not for everyone, but for those who I am, they resonate. They feel the resonance and they're like, I don't know why, but I just want to be around you. I want to be working with you. I feel so good around you. Like, I want to be in this energy. So you get to become the magnet to your desires, and you cannot do it from a place of complaining or frustration or anger, you know, like anger is higher vibrationally than, for example, despair, right? Or shame or guilt, but still, like, choose better and choose again. That's the beauty, Amy. There is a moment to moment. It's not like you have to wait till the next week or next month, like how we sometimes like set up our goals. Like, I will start on Monday. I will start from a new year's. No. Each breath, it's a new moment. Each breath, it's a new opportunity. So when something doesn't feel right, take a deep breath and choose again. What are you choosing instead?
I love all of that so much. It's so beautiful. And I, like, as you were talking, I was remembering my last job as a midwife, and I would get like, it was very stressful, and I would get scrunchy and crunchy and feel that like, oh, like I don't want to be here. And I could enumerate very easily all the things I didn't like about it, but I was under contract, so I had to work. And so I would do exactly that. I would be like, okay, but what do I love about it? And I would feel within myself this little resistance of like, this part of me that was like, no, if you list out things that you love, then you might stay forever. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's almost like, it's like you're choosing it, but it's not like that. It's just, yes, you can be aware and you can totally acknowledge the things you don't like about it. But I remember being like, well, I get to do a lot of driving through the beautiful countryside and go meet people and their babies in their homes. Like, how lovely is that? And it's a huge rural area, so I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts and to just be with my own thoughts. And I really love all the women that I work with, and I really love, you know, all the brand new babies. And it did shift my energy in that moment. And it wasn't like, you know, that when I was able to leave that job, I did, but it made it easier and more comfortable for me to be there while I was there. But I'm wondering, like, what do you do? What's your process when you get into those very human moments that we all get where we really are feeling like, about something? How do you manage that?
So it really depends on what it is, right? Like, sometimes I do breath work because that really breaks like any emotional patterns. So I'm certified in deep diaphragmic breathing, you know, breath work detox. So it really helps like get out all of the emotions, and I can do even just like 5 minute session. It's so easy. It's so easy. And then if I do like a full session, like 30 minutes, like, you cannot come on the other side of feeling the same. It's like humanly impossible. You can't, you just feel completely different. And sometimes it's just like, let me go for a walk. Let me connect with the nature. I personally feel very grounded and very good around water. So I go and I sit in the shower. Sometimes my husband, honey, did you go to park recently? Or did you want to take a shower? You know, like, he can feel my energy. So it's like a slight hint. It's not like, oh, you're being a witch. It's like, oh, honey, like, do you feel like taking shower? Or he's so beautiful. Like, he does like EFT tapping on me. Like, of course I can do it like myself. But come on, it's not the same thing. Like, when somebody else cooks for us, it also tastes better, usually. So I do like breath work, EFT tapping. I created a playlist on YouTube with very short meditations from 2 to like 15 minutes. So I look at where I am, like, on my schedule. And, you know, I personally created my lab that I work only 2 days a week. And one day I have for like recording podcasts and things like that. So it's not like I have to be like 6 days a week like that. But if it's, you know, like the beginning of the week when I am, you know, working with my clients or doing interviews, and I have like 30 minutes between interviews, I choose 5 minutes meditation. I put my eye mask, lay down, put my essential oils, and it shifts how am I feeling. Because anytime that we, for example, the moment you sit up from the bed when you're waking up, or like sit up or stand up, you're changing your state of mind from theta state of mind, that it's, you know, susceptible, and you're going into the beta, which is figure it out, be alert, be focused, fight or flight. So I know that no matter what is going on in my day, if I lay just in Shavasana or just like simply just lay down on the floor, on your bed, on your couch, outside on the beach, whatever it is, but lying down, you're already relaxing your nervous system. So you don't have to even do anything. You don't have to meditate. You don't, well, please keep breathing, but you don't have to do breath work. You know, it's like 5 minutes later, like, oh, could you kill this one? No. So you don't have to do consciously anything, but allow your nervous system to soften. I feel it's really about that softness. The softening, because when we soften, that's when we can receive. We can receive the signs. We can see the messages. We are paying attention. Because if you're in that fight or flight mode, if you're in that doing mode, and like you said it, Amy, we are in a space that we get to like accomplish things, finish things, do things. That's beautiful. But it's not 24/7. And we're acting like we have to be producing 24/7, or unless we're not worthy or deserving, which is BS. You know, like, you were born worthy and deserving, and then you adopted stories that are not yours. So like, relax yourself for 2-5 minutes and your energy will shift, whatever that is for you.
Yeah, I love that, because basically, as I'm listening to you, it sounds like the point that you've gotten to in your life with yourself is that when you start to feel those things, it's not a big process. It's actually not complicated. It's just allowing yourself those resets.
Yeah.
And just loving yourself and not not grabbing onto the story, just, yeah, softening your energy around it so that whatever frustration is there, you're not being hard and trying to push it away. You're just softening and letting yourself have a reset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That you heard it right. And like I said, usually it's about softening, but sometimes it can be screaming into the pillow. You know, sometimes it can be just punching the pillows.
Sometimes we need to move it out as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Because if you're feeling like frustration or anger, it's not like I'm all freaking zen out when you're like, man, right? So get it out. You can go for a workout. You can go for a run. You can go for a swim, like moving your body so it moves through. Or just like scream, not at people, but into your pillow, please. Or something alone, you know. It's like, Petya told me to go and scream.
Yeah, just not at anyone. Yes. Oh, Petya, you are such a beautiful soul and you just have so much wisdom to share. Where can my listeners find you if they want to binge on your energy and just like soak in all of your beautiful divine feminine abundance codes?
Like wholeheartedly receiving it, Amy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're so beautiful. And it's such an honor to, you know, get this acknowledgement from you. My favorite place is really, it's my podcast, Unapologetically Abundant. That's like, when you say binging, I always have like women like messaging me a binge on your podcast. And then Instagram, you know, we connected there. I love that place because, you know, I feel like you can really connect with someone's energy. I'm always on my stories, teaching, sharing wisdom, so those two places are really my favorite places.
Wonderful. And do you have any upcoming things that you're excited about that you'd like the listeners to know about?
So right now what I'm really excited for is I am here 2 months in, it's funny, I want to share with you something about Canada too. It just came up for me. So right now I'm 2 months here in Las Vegas. So normally I host retreats for a group, but this time it didn't feel right. So I listened and I'm doing just like one-on-one VIP day or VIP weekend. So that's going to be until mid of July. But also I have a call today with one of my past retreats participants. She wants me to come host a retreat to Canada, which is going to be private. It's just for a group of people, but I might be in Canada. So I'll just let all the Canadians know it would be this summer because I would probably hang out there for like, you know, a few more days. And then in October, we're hosting a retreat in Bali. So I'm really like maximizing the in-person experience right now because this year we are calling in our spirit baby. And I don't know how my life will change. I know you have two beautiful ones, you know, so then you really inspired me on my podcast. And so I'm really maximizing the in-person, giving the energy while the baby's not here yet. So that's what I'm really, really excited for.
Oh, so exciting. So exciting. And like everyone, just truly just go and soak up her beautiful vibes because I'm just like, I'm just gonna be walking on air after our conversation. Honestly, I love it. You have a very like, it's very feminine, like Venusian energy. Like you have that Venus thing going on. It's just beautiful. Goddess energy for sure.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And it was a real joy to connect with you. And beautiful listeners, as always, I appreciate your attention more than my words can say. I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. And I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for being here with me on this episode. I appreciate you more than my words could ever say. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share, and I will catch you on the next episode.